Welcome everyone to another club review, our Clubs in Day series as we call it here, and today we are talking the St Kilda Saints. My name is Willow and I am being joined by my fabulous co-host Mel today. Mel, how are you going?
I am great and looking forward to talking about St Kilda. We've made it into the top eight, which is exciting. St Kilda finished seventh last season after seven wins and five losses for a decent 87.5 percentage. Their season, while they made it into seventh position overall, was a bit of a mixed bag, though. There were some surprise wins, some disappointing losses. So, I mean, it makes for an interesting team to be supporting and watching. They lost out on a preliminary final to Adelaide, which was their first finals in history, but they also started the season with a bang, with a very surprise win to Adelaide, which was the most thrilling opening of AFLW season I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a massive upset. And as you say, very mixed bag, St Kilda. At times, they didn't really feel like a finals-based team, but they kept getting wins on the board, and a lot of that was because they just seemed to try really, really hard.
Yeah, and it showed. So St Kilda is kind of a pressure-tackling-based game strategy last season. Lots of tackles. They've got the comp's seventh highest tackler, T. Smith. And unfortunately, though, very little disposals, very little time with the ball, not so many contested possessions. They seem to be losing the ball quite a bit in the middle. So I wonder how their game strategy might shift a bit more this season as we see a bit more of a uncontested possession game rolling out across the league. St Kilda do have a very strong defensive core, so they're great at stopping the opposition from scoring, but they do lack a little bit on their own scoring. We saw last season, Jesse Tafiao Wardlaw was the leading goal scorer, and she had double the number of scores as one of our favourites here on the pod, Janome Anderson, who came in as the second goal scorer. So they've got a real concentration kind of problem there. That's a lot of, we love Jesse Wardlaw, but that's a lot of weight on them.
Yeah, I think a lot came down to, do they get it to Jesse Tafiao Wardlaw and do they kick a goal? And if it wasn't that, they were basically relying on their midfield, which is not ideal. You probably want your forwards to kick goals, which is surprising. And a lot of that kind of meant that they were a bit, you know, all or bust. But there's reinforcements coming. They've done a bit in the off-season to try and help that.
Yes. So six new recruits coming in from the draft, including Sophie Butterworth, a tall forward. So that should be helpful with supporting that Jesse up there in the forward line. And to account for this, they've had six delistings, so a bit of a scrub, and traded Nicholas Stevens over to Geelong.
Few changes there, but mostly the squad is still the same. Talking of those mid-forwards, though, Ash Richards was one of the breakout stars of last season, and we were very, very lucky to get an interview with her. I'll throw to Jono for that now. Enjoy the interview.
All right. Welcome, Ash Richards of the St Kilda Saints to the Free Kick podcast. We're very excited to have you on today. How's it going?
Yeah, really good. I'm excited to join this podcast today and have a chat with you guys.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. I think before we get started, I think the one question that a lot of us are wondering is, how is the ankle? Because that was just a horrific moment last season.
Yeah, it honestly today feels like I never ever had a broken foot, so it is good. It was definitely a long journey back, a big off season, and the back of last season for me. Definitely a new experience. I've never really had an injury before, so we took it pretty slow. But now I'm back to full training. I pretty much from day one of preseason was back to full training, so the timeline was pretty good for me.
Oh, amazing to hear. Yeah, those rehab programs are so tough to go through. So to be able to still do the full preseason with everyone, that must have been fantastic. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I guess one of the big things with that ankle injury is it sort of put a halt to what had been such a fantastic season for you. I mean, one of the things that we were looking at, we really like the statistical side of things on the podcast here. So we were looking at career best figures for you for disposals, marks, tackles, clearances, hitting the scoreboard as well. It was an incredible season so far. But even ignoring that, just the impact you were having around the ground, and particularly once you'd moved into that midfield, was fantastic to see. I mean, what was the secret behind such a breakout performance last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to how you prepare yourself, your off season, coming into your preseason. I was just really hungry to get better. And I think, well, I got a bit of a shift. I started in the forward line for the first half of the season, then got a bit of a shift into the midfield, which was definitely a bit of a switch up and not what I was used to, trying to learn midfield stoppages and everything. That was a bit different. But I honestly absolutely loved it. And I'm very competitive and I love to give everything a crack. I think you train how you play. So that's a big thing for me. So I think that led me on to a pretty good season for me and for my career so far. So it was good just to get a bit of consistency. And I mean, my teammates pretty much push me and help me out to be the best. So I put it down to them really.
Was that a planned move that you had at the start of last season, or was that sort of a response to what was going on at the club?
Not really. I mean, I feel like Nick Dowell pretty much always said little parts of me going into midfield, little bursts here and there. But I guess I never really kind of did that in the preseason. And we just thought maybe why not give it a bit of a crack. And he put me in, I think, for the Hawthorn game, and then just said, "Yep, we're going to roll with that." So I don't think it was planned at all. Just went in there and then didn't want to move me out.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing to see, and I find it so interesting you bring up the mentality, I suppose, you have about, the consistency. Because I was looking back at some of the comments back when you were drafted, and at the time, a very different time, still dealing with COVID lockdowns. I think you were still in year 12, and you were saying you didn't have very high expectations for yourself, and you were just sort of looking to play the best football that you could. Is that something that's, I suppose, changes now that you can see the heights that you can get to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a bit when you join the AFLW, you're starting from the bottom and you always want to be the best that you can. And I never really had this high expectation coming in. Like, I just wanted to earn my spot on the team. I never really thought big thoughts. I just wanted to play the best footy that I can. And the people around me push me to do that as well. And I think now building into my career a little bit, I am a bit more focused on the little things and what can make me that 1% better, whether that's diet, whether that's what you're doing when you're not at the club, because I feel like everyone in the league is doing the same thing. So it's what can you do that makes you that little bit better, just give you that little bit of an edge. And I think that's what kind of pushes me now more than ever. In my first few seasons, it was, yeah, just about kind of finding your spot on the team, doing whatever you can, playing whatever role you can. And now it's find your spot on the team, and now it's honing down on the little things that will make you better for your team and for yourself.
Yeah, well, it's clearly working well. So, keep it going. We're very excited to see. Are you expecting you'll be holding your place in the midfield again this year, or are you looking at new crafts to work on the off season?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I'm really working in well with that midfield group that we've got now. I've been enjoying playing that role in midfield, getting my fitness up in that midfield role. But I do have a soft spot for the forward, and I love that forward line role as well. So anywhere they want to put me, really, I'm there.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I guess looking at the larger squad last year, I feel like there's so much excitement happening at the Saints, so much growth across so many different players. We were really lucky last season. We got to chat with Serene Watson, who's just been elevated to sole captain. I mean, Hannah Priest has been an excellent captain for years, but I feel like Serene just brings so much enthusiasm and energy. What's your experience been like with her recently?
I mean, I think externally it looks like a lot has changed with that change of captaincy to Serene being elevated, but I think internally Serene's always been a prominent leader in our group from day one that she joined us. Like you said, her energy and her voice and her enthusiasm just to be better, make us all better, has really lifted us. And I think Hannah has always been like that as well. She's very enthusiastic and she's always brought the energy. And I think title or no title, she'll still be the same Hannah. She is still the same Hannah we get every training session. But I think this group of leaders and Serene leading that is really exciting, and they're fully equipped to lead us into what is hopefully an exciting and successful 2026 season.
Yeah. Well, it's a great point there. I suppose the 2026 season, we're hoping to match the efforts last year, because last year the Saints made their finals for the first time in the AFLW. It was very exciting to see. I'm sure that the first round exit to the Crows probably put a bit of a dampener on the celebrations afterwards, but I think it's a great start for such a promising squad. How do you and the club reflect on the 2025 season?
It was pretty exciting to obviously make finals for the first time, but post that game, Dell gathered us all together and pretty much said, like, we all start from scratch next year. Like, this, just because you made finals this year doesn't mean you make the finals next year. So I think making finals for the first time has just grown our hunger to be able to do that again. And we don't want to go out at the start. We want to make it all the way through. That's the ultimate goal. That's everyone's goal. So pretty much from that day one of off season, what can you do to be better so that we can make it through to finals, make it even further? Nothing's ever guaranteed. So we just have to put our head down and work harder than the other teams.
Yeah. Has there been a big focus this off season onto like what the club as a whole is doing? I know last year there was a talk around consistency across a lot of different parts of, in game, in training, really in everything you were doing. Is that changed this season as to a new focus?
I don't think so. I think consistency is a really big thing, especially here at the Saints. Consistency and high standards. We want to set that. We've set the bar high from last year, so now there's no going backwards. We want to be better. And the only way to be better is to keep those standards high, improve on our game plan, play our Saints brand of footy, one that's energetic, exciting, competitive. Pretty much just building on that. So the messaging is quite similar from last year, I would say. Just pretty much what can you do that's a little bit better to make our team better than last year?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, one thing that I'm really hoping that happens this season to maybe be a bit of a difference from the last couple of years is that you have a much fitter team, because I feel like the injury list has just been littered with key Saints players over the last couple of years. We were celebrating the return of Georgia Patrikios last year, only to see Olivia Vesely go down, yourself obviously injured. Molly McDonald had quite a fair bit out of the back half of the season. How's the squad doing on the health front?
Yeah, well, it is a lot better than it was the post-season last year. It's a tricky one because you can never guarantee injuries or people's rehab timelines and things like that. Unfortunately, that's footy. People get injured, but right now it's looking good and healthy. There's a lot of new recruits as well, and they're all fit and healthy as well. I feel like everyone's had a good pre-season and been able to really build their fitness and have a consistent pre-season. So hopefully that sticks, and we can go through the whole season unscathed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And I am very excited to talk about a lot of these young recruits that have come in. But before we do, there's one other player that I know I'm very excited to see the return of, Emily Fiedler, had done her ACL back in 2024, I think it was. And yeah, I'm really hopeful that she can get back to on field this season. Is she looking like she'll be okay to start the season?
Yeah, she's been training really well. It was definitely a long road for her, and she was challenged through that, but we all had her back. Just trying to build her confidence up a little bit more in that ruck role, working with us midfielders as well, just to get back to that footy mindset, and that footy fitness as well. And I think she's been doing really well this pre-season. She's come back in strong and fit, so it will be exciting, and yeah, hopefully we'll see her out there on the track.
Yeah, fantastic. I feel like it's such a challenging role, that ruck role, trying to figure out, it's not just the high running that you have to do being in the middle of the ground, but also the physicality you've got to bring. So it's such a challenge to train for.
Yes.
But to jump back on the rookies, I mean, you've had six different players come through the draft, and they all look fantastic and a very tall bunch. I feel there's a lot of height being added to the Saints. What have you made of the young group that's come in so far?
Lots of recruits this off season, lots of young recruits making us girls feel a lot older than what we are, definitely. But they've just brought a fresh energy to the group. They're just full of energy, lots and lots of energy, but they've just come in strong and hungry and willing to just put their bodies on the line. We're all ultimately fighting for that spot on the team, and they've come in very hot. They're very exciting to watch. They all bring different kinds of strengths. We've got, like you said, quite a few tall girls as well. Abby Hobson has been unreal, training up a storm, really good aerially, really good on the ground, so she'll be exciting to watch. But just all of them, they've just brought a good energy around the club, and I think they're going to make us a better team.
Yeah, fantastic. And I do have to say, I did get excited when I saw that she'd come fourth in the time trial or fifth or something like that.
Yes.
I think it's always exciting to see someone so young just coming out
Definitely.
with that athletic prowess.
Yeah, she was breathing down my neck in that time trial, definitely.
And it's also in the preseason draft, you picked up, I think, I'm not 100% confident on this, but I don't think the Saints had an Irish player on their list until Saoirse Lally
No.
joined. Yeah.
Yes, no, we didn't. She's a really exciting recruit as well. Still kind of learning AFL rules, but to her credit, she has been unreal. She has picked up the game so quickly, and her just speed and agility will be really exciting. So can't wait for that.
Yeah, fingers crossed, that'll be exciting to see. And then also there was a trade in the off-season. I'm personally a Hawks fan, and to see Sophie Butterworth leave the club was devastating because she's so talented. How has she gone blending in with the group this off-season?
Yeah, awesome. She's really invested. I think from day one that she walked in, she had her notebook and pen ready. She's just willing to get better, whatever role that is, roaming through the forward line, leading patterns and all that. She's doing really well. So hopefully, she brings all that on game day.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about the Saints forward line generally because I feel like there's so much scoring power potential and there's such a big scoreboard impact coming from the midfielders. But when you look at the result at the end of the season, the Saints just haven't put up the numbers that a lot of the other top eight sides have. So I guess how have the discussions gone this off season about connecting forward, trying to improve avenues to goal?
Yeah, definitely is something we've spoken about as well, is how we can score more, whether that's through the forward line, through the midfield, just deeper entries, just trying to score, put more pressure on the scoreboard. And I think the forwards have been doing really well and working really hard this pre-season, definitely. There's been lots of communication and how we can get all the lines connected, and I think they're doing a really great job. There's a lot of energy down there, a lot of movement, work rate, and everything that we want in a forward line. So hopefully that reflects come round one.
Yeah, I feel like you've got a lot of the new recruits sort of have that forward flexibility. So it's interesting to see you might have so many different combinations coming this off season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, should be exciting.
At the other end of the ground, I feel like you've had one of the most effective defensive structures locked away for so long. And even with someone like Nicola Stevens departing, you've still got so much experience back there. And I suppose what it does is kind of exciting. It opens up opportunity for someone else to step into that back line. So I was wondering if anyone else has put their hand up to sort of take that role early this preseason.
It's been pretty the same, actually. Obviously, we loved Nicola Stevens down there. She was a really pivotal part of our back line. But in saying that, I think we did have a really strong backups to that, and I think they've just come in and pretty much stepped up to the role. And like with leaders down there, like Serene, even Bianca Jacobson as well. They've pretty much just held that. And I think they're a strong back line. They're a really close unit off the field as well. So I think they've pretty much covered up for that one. And I think hopefully they're the same unit and even stronger this year.
Yeah, it does seem like one of the most seamless back lines where everyone's got so much experience working together. So I'm excited to see that roll out again this year. Well, thank you so much for joining. We've loved having you on. I've just got one last question for you, and it's who have you been most excited watching this preseason and look set for a really big 2026?
Yeah, I think one of the obvious ones and She's always exciting to watch, but Tiana Smith, always just coming in consistency on field. She is lightning quick and she's very exciting to watch. And I think she steps up her game every season, coming off the back of a best and fairest as well. She's only improved, so really excited to see how she goes. And then, as I was touching on before, Abby Hobson, really, really excited to watch her shine this year. She's been unreal at training, really competitive. Yeah, I think she's gonna be a star, so excited for that one.
Yeah, no, that's exciting to hear. I definitely think Tiana Smith's one of those players with all the weapons. It's incredible what she can do, but to have a young player come through like Abby, that's very exciting to hear. So,
Yeah, it is.
yeah. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited to have you on, and good luck to the St Kilda Saints in 2026.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Great stuff there, Jono, and from Ash Richards as well. Some really interesting takeaways. What did you reckon was the most interesting one for you, Mel?
Well, I'm excited to hear that Ash is coming back in fit to this season. No ankle injury, which we saw her take it, I think, maybe back into last season, which was not great. But that she's enjoying continuing to train with the midfield. That is news that we want to hear.
For Ash Richards, indeed, but it means that there's going to be a lot of midfielders that aren't going to be playing midfield, so that'll be something to talk about. But the players to watch, I mean, T. Smith coming off her best and fairest, I think we a big favourite of us here. But you know, a fantastic one, and Abby Hobson, an interesting one. Obviously, we talked a bit about their need for more key forwards, but yeah, young key forward possibly competing with Sophie Butterworth. So. Some interesting stuff there, but for now, let's jump into our top five fantasy players. And Mel, the number one player is someone who definitely could make a big impact.
Yes, so we're very excited. Emily Fiedler is my number one pick at St Kilda. The ruck who was initially drafted into Frio made her way to St Kilda, but we haven't been able to see a lot of her as she has been plagued with injuries. She is now coming back into this season after missing season 10 for an ACL, and her average in season 9 was 50.8, so pretty solid. Coming in a bit discounted. I am hoping that she is lining up to be St Kilda's number one ruck. So we saw last season the majority of the ruck role was played by Rebecca Ott, and 8 out of 12 games with Renee Karras chipping in a bit at the back end of the season. But Rebecca Ott is one of those delistings in the off season. So, you know, Renee Karras has some potential to share the role, but the fact that Emily Fiedler's coming back in fit and ready and St Kilda have been waiting for her to be able to make an impact, I think they're going to want to get a lot out of that investment and chuck her in there. She's got the height, she's got the great tap ruck game. I think she will be priced at 40.6 because of missing season 10. That's 10 points of headroom right there. Just going back to her season 9 average, I reckon she's had a couple more pre-seasons, a bit more experience since then. So I think that she is a great, perfectly priced ruck for your bench this season, and I expect her to be in a lot of sides. And also, friend of the pod.
Absolutely. We love a friend of the pod. I think this is a fantastic pick. And the only flag at the moment is that there is talk out of St Kilda being that they're going to start her up forward to build fitness, which, if so, I think is a massive waste opportunity. I'm a big Renee Karras fan, but I think Emily Fiedler is clearly the best ruck on St Kilda's list. So, if anything, I'm kind of hoping that, even though she's priced quite cheaply, if that does happen, she starts the season slowly, loses a little bit of extra money, and then I can jump on board later in the season when she starts actually playing in the ruck. But I think as soon as Emily Fiedler becomes the number one ruck at St Kilda, which should be immediately, but if not,
You never know.
maybe mid-season, I think there's so much value there. And I think there's such a fantastic tap ruck that, yeah, I think it's a player that you should be keeping your eyes on regardless of whether you start with her.
Absolutely. And there's a bit of a trend in these top five fantasy picks today because number two, we're going to go with new friend of the pod, Ash Richards.
Nice.
Yep, listed as a forward. Love to see that given the mid-forward role. Coming in with an average of 66.7. So she had a breakout season in 2025 in half forward. Although, unfortunately, she did only play 7 games due to that broken ankle. So This means that she is coming in after a bit of a break. What I like about Ash Richards is the momentum that she had towards the back end of last season and the role particularly, but also that there was a few low scores smattered in that 66.7. She had a 32 and a couple of 50s, but her ceiling, she had two scores of 97 on games, and those were the games where she had the CBAs and was playing further up the field. So that's saying to me that if she has a bit more of a midfield rotation, let's say, you know, not maybe not 97, but let's say like 80s on those games, priced at 66.7, that is fantastic. So, you know, bit of concentration here, two very good St Kilda players that I'm thinking about for the starting squad, but I think Ash Richards is another almost must-have.
Yeah, I love the Ash Richards pick. I think if that midfield role continues, Ash Richards loves a tackle, is pretty reasonably priced. I think it's a great one, and at the moment is sitting in my starting squad.
Yep.
So
sticking with friends.
Yes, yep. I was about to say. So for number three, you are sticking with friends once again.
Yep, friend of the pod, Serene Watson. The new skipper, defender, priced at 77.1. I mean, I feel like we've spoken about Serene Watson on a couple of other episodes this preseason as well, but she is an elite halfback and rebounder for St Kilda. She was the fourth highest rebounder in the competition last season. She is the top interceptor for St Kilda and top 20 across the competition. She has just up and upped her average over the last few seasons as a result of this fantastic role and further development in her skills. So last season, she increased her average by 10 points, which is huge for a defender. It does raise the question of, like, where is there to go from here? I think she's one of the top five price defenders. I expect that she will remain a top five defender or so across the season, or maybe, you know, slightly outside of that. But she is going to be one of those watchers for someone that can fit really nicely as a lock defender in your season. Yeah, I think she's just going to be a fantastic scorer again.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Serene Watson, the only thing to think about is, I think, as you say, probably top priced already. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think that 75 average is very, very achievable. So, yeah, it could be just a player that you sit and set in your team for the rest of the season. Very easy. And number four, we've got another friend of the pod.
Another friend of the pod. We have so many friends at St Kilda. Friend of the pod means, you know, we've interviewed them before. So if you want to hear us chat to any of these players, go back and listen to our old episodes. But we've got Jesse Tafiao-Wardlaw, 63.1 averaging forward. Another very reliable pick from St Kilda. They were the leading goal kicker at St Kilda 2 years in a row by a lot. I mean, we spoke about that big margin last year between Jesse and Janome Anderson. And Jesse brings this amazing versatility. We've seen them in the ruck. We've seen them across the ground. We've seen them a bit in defence. We've seen them in the forward line. Jesse is always on the ground. And that makes for a fantastic fantasy pickup. Because, you know, whether St Kilda are winning or losing or just hanging out, Jesse's going to be scoring us some points. So not a very exciting growth opportunity here, but a big lock and someone that will be quite regular in people's sides again this season, I reckon.
Yeah, I think their versatility and just their overall skill, they're to me clearly St Kilda's most important player, and they want the ball in the hands of Tafiao Wardlaw. As you say, similar to Serene Watson, I don't know how much upside there is. Hopefully getting a few other key forwards in the team, whether it's Hobson, whether it's Sophie Butterworth, hopefully that frees them up a little bit. But I think they're the sort of player that can probably mostly act as a bit of a point of difference, I think. I think that, yeah, probably not going to score massively straight out of the gate, but will be very consistent and a pretty reliable pick, as you said, Mel. And number five, you have gone for someone who bucks this trend by not picking a friend of the pod. And I'm a little disappointed that you couldn't get the full five, to be honest.
We're going to have to lock in an interview with Olivia Vesely for next season, I think.
Sounds great.
Listed as a midfielder, averaging 45.6. So, unfortunately, Olivia only played two games last season, again due to a calf injury. Lots of injury-affected scores here. Coming back in fit and healthy this season, we would hope. Previous seasons, she's scored 53. So that's a little bit of a headroom there, potentially. Not going to lie, this is not the most exciting fantasy pick. Olivia Vesely, great footballer. Fantasy upside, I'm not 100% certain. I was getting a little bit confused or a bit lost for options by the time I got to fifth year. Outside of picking a rookie, I think that there might be some upside in Olivia. And the reason why I've gone with this is there might be, like, there's a lot of rookies in the midfield, but if you're looking for someone a little bit above rookie price that has a bit of headroom while we're sitting and watching to see which rookies play and who's got a bang, could be a good placeholder in your fantasy side.
Yeah, I think for Vesely, the biggest upside, is that they've got that forward midfielder status, gives them that flexibility. I mean, role's going to be important. I think that if what we hear about, you know, Ash Richards playing well in the midfield is true, and if we've got a lot of the other players, they've got a lot of good sort of forward midfielders like Janome Anderson, Jamie Lambert, Georgia Patrikios, and T. Smith, of course. I think it's going to come down to, are they just sitting in a forward pocket not getting near the ball, or are they actually pushing up into it? Because I think there is upside there if they're playing in that midfield, and they have traditionally played in that midfield, but if they're just playing up forward, I'm not certain that there's a whole lot of points to be made, but it's a good price stat considering what they can do.
Yep. So, surely you got something a bit more fantasy relevant and exciting for us for the host special. Bring us back.
I do. I've got a player who has long been on my radar, a long-time favourite of me, and that's Alana G, who is listed as a defender with an average of 57.3. Alana G is a player that it boggles my mind because they came into the Gold Coast team as a highly regarded inside midfielder, and Gold Coast proceeded to use her as a lockdown defender. And it blew my mind. And so got traded to St Kilda, finally broke through into the team last season. And even though they haven't really had a chance in that midfield, we've just talked about how stacked they are for inside midfield options, she really locked down a spot on the wing late in the season. And I'm going to highlight that there's a couple of scores of 70 and 71 in their last two games, one of which was a final. So that was the final against Adelaide. So what I'm hoping is that a proper preseason playing as a winger will give Alana G the chance to actually play in that role, do well in that role. And one of the things we love about wingers that are listed as defenders is they can often score 10 points higher than a lot of other actual defenders. And so I think there's a 10-point jump there if we just see that 70 score become more regular. I don't think Alana G is a player that you're going to pick and keep for the whole season. If so, that would be brilliant. But I think that she's definitely a player that could be priced at, you know, sub 60, get a, you know, close to 70 average and be a really good stepping stone to one of your premiums. And I mean, I think mid-price madness is always a good bit of fun. Let's be honest.
Always here for that.
That's been a pretty good summary of St Kilda. Some interesting options, a bit of speculation as well about how the players will actually play. So that's something that you'll definitely need to watch out for in the preseason. But in the meantime, we've given you a few good options. We've also put our best 21 up on the socials so you can see who we think will actually be playing where. And we've also got our Substack article, which you can read, that goes into how they play and, you know, the players we think are most important to St Kilda in a little bit more detail. Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. There's heaps more to come. We are into the finals-based teams, as Mel said, so there's some good teams coming up, which is very, very exciting. But for now, we've been Free Kick. Follow us on the socials, and of course you can get this wherever you get your podcast, but you know that because you're listening already. Nice. I've been Willow. I've been joined by Mel. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.